Daniel chapter 3. We'll be studying from that text this morning. Good to have everyone with us, especially those who are visiting with us. We're glad that you are here and hope that you'll be able to make it back every time that you have opportunity. Daniel chapter 3, the account that is recorded there, is one that has become a very much beloved account or story that most of us have learned even from our childhood. One that illustrates to us the power of conviction, the ability of youth, and what just a few people can do in making an impression for good upon what may be many others. In Daniel 3, we're introduced to a few men. The setting is Babylon. The king at the time is Nebuchadnezzar. It is sometime after 606 because it is after the first carrying away of the Jews into captivity. And we have thus far in the book of Daniel read of Daniel himself, as well as three close companions, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, otherwise known by their Babylonian names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These four men together were educated and promoted to high offices of responsibility in the kingdom of Babylon, were respected by Nebuchadnezzar and those upon whom he relied in order to see his agenda take place. But when you get to Daniel 3 and you read of the account of which we're going to study this morning, and you see the decisive stand that these three young men took against the one who respected them, their king, their ruler, one who held their very lives in his hand, you see the power of conviction, and you see the ability of youth and the opportunity that we have to make an impact on whether it be a few or it may be many. In conclusion, we see that they took a stand. The idea to stand has come to refer to a person's willingness or determination to abide for something or to refuse to yield to someone. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13, Paul said to the church in Ephesus, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Throughout Scripture, we see heroes of the faith. Those who believed in God, those who served God, and those who, despite all that might be thrown against them, stood for God. And it's from these great heroes of the Bible that we turn to as an example in our need in the 21st century against all that we face to stand for God. If you read the news or watch a news program or listen to a news program on the radio, you understand the degree to which many people in this country are trying to move our society further into immorality, into a liberal mindset, into anything goes. They're taking a stand, if you will, for evil. And the only thing that's going to defeat that stand for evil is a stand for right and a stand for truth. And we must turn to examples like of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah and see their stand for what was good and is still good and recognize that that truth has not changed. It will not change, and that it forevermore will stand. We must then stand with it and for it. And so from Daniel chapter 3 this morning, let's go through this chapter in four quick points and notice what they did, the circumstances and everything that revolved around this great event and account, and see how we too can make such an impact as did they. And hopefully it turned to be as good as it was at the end of this great chapter. Number one this morning, notice the circumstances of this stand in Daniel 3. Nebuchadnezzar has this idea. Where he derived this idea, we're not necessarily sure. It possibly came from the great image of Daniel 2. But he has this idea to erect this image of gold. And in verse 1, he has this image made whose height was 80 cubits, breadth of 6 cubits. Set it in a wide open space, one that was highly traveled through the plain of Jura and the province of Babylon. And exalting this great image, he calls to all of his officials, to all the nation, to all the kingdom, that he was going to prepare this great event in which music was going to be played. And at the signal of this music, everybody in the kingdom, everybody in that area was to immediately drop down, and they were to pay homage to this image. Nebuchadnezzar himself is a man of great interest. He was second in line of the kings of Babylon. His father was essentially the founder of this great empire. And while his father was in power, Nebuchadnezzar himself had been charged to oversee the army. He was the general, if you will. And as being the general through history, he won and fought many decisive battles. But you might also understand that in this time of his military experience, he gained a great amount of power, a great amount of knowledge, to some degree a great amount of ruthlessness, with which he was going to live and rule throughout his life. Eventually, Nabopolassar, his father, died, and Nebuchadnezzar stepped up and took control of this empire, turning it into one of the greatest and most powerful empires in all the world. Historians have described Nebuchadnezzar as ambitious, as assertive, and aggressive. This is the man that these three young men are going to confront. He is the one that they are going to disobey. He is the one whom they are going to reject. An ambitious, assertive, aggressive, and in many ways ruthless ruler. I introduce us to Nebuchadnezzar in order to make the point that these three young men took a stand under dire circumstances. In fact, if you are to read on through verse number 7, you'll see that the consequence of not doing as was commanded was a death of a most horrendous nature. Evidence of Nebuchadnezzar's ruthlessness and his brutality. And so the circumstances of this stand is one of intense derision. Have you ever stood for what you know would be right and is right, even though you know that you're going to face consequences? We all stand for right, perhaps on a daily basis, but have we ever stood for right knowing intense consequences would be paid by us for taking such a stand? Likely we have at some point in our lives. But just as likely is the fact that when we took that stand, the consequences were not going to affect whether we lived or died. These three young men did. And when Nebuchadnezzar sounded the music and gave the signal for all the people to fall in homage to this image, everyone did but three. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah looked at this image as nothing more than that. An image of physical material that had no knowledge, no being, no substance, and refused to fall in worship to it. We face circumstances in life, perhaps not to the degree that these three young men did, but no less we face circumstances in life. Circumstances that could dramatically alter our livelihood? Are we willing to stand for right even amidst these circumstances? From Daniel 3, we see three men who were willing. And we should learn from their example that regardless of the circumstance, whether it be great or small, right is right. And standing for right will never be wrong. Number 2 this morning, from verses 8 through 15, notice the cause of their stand. They refused to fall, and they refused to worship. But then when we get to verse 16, we find that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Certain of Nebuchadnezzar's henchmen, if you will, had noticed that these three young men had not fallen and had not obeyed the command. They perhaps had an eye out to see if they would. Probably they didn't think too highly of these three Jewish men being exalted above them. And they were just waiting for an opportunity to get something on them. Well, they have their opportunity. They see these three young men. They refuse to fall. And they go to Nebuchadnezzar and said, O king, some of these people did not fall. Some of these people did not obey thee. And so Nebuchadnezzar calls for them. He is angry, but he also wants an explanation. Knowing these three men, he perhaps thinks maybe it's just a misunderstanding. And so they come before him, and as we stated, they address him, saying, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And He will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. This command by Nebuchadnezzar was designed to be worshipful. It was not just paying respect to this image, it was about holding it in an exalted fashion. They were worshiping the image, but likewise, whomever the image represented, whether it be Nebuchadnezzar or whether it be Marduk, his particular preference of gods, or whether it be someone else, not only were they respecting the image, they were exalting whom the image represented. And there was one thing of which these three boys were certain, that it was not God that this image represented. And so therefore they would not fall down and they would not obey it. Why? Because the law explicitly commanded against it. Go to Exodus chapter 20. And there you find the first several verses, the Ten Commandments. And in the first five verses, the God spoke all these words saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. These three boys knew that this image represented some sort of what they believed, or what Babylon believed, to be an exalted divine being. And they remembered God said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. This was a graven image. Or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. The Lord had made it very plainly clear. He was God. There was no other. And so therefore, the people should not bow to any other. He says, For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Why was it such a serious thing for these three boys to fall down and worship or give respect or homage to this being? Couldn't they just say in the back of their mind, well, I'm just going to fall down because I was told to, but I'm not really respecting the image. I'm just putting the appearance forth of it. The Lord said, thou shalt not bow down to them. And he likens the exalting of other beings above him to hatred. It's obvious that if they in the old or we today exalt anyone or anything above God, that we do not love God. The New Testament makes it very clear. If we do not love Him, the Bible just as clearly also says that we hate Him. These three young men knew the law. They knew their responsibility. They knew the cause for which they stood. It was God and God alone, their God, their Master, and they would serve no other. When we stand today for what we know is right, for what cause do we stand? Let it be for God, not for any personal or selfish reason. When we stand, let's stand for God and allow Him to receive the glory that He is due. That's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. They didn't stand just because they wanted personal satisfaction. They stood for God because they knew that God was right and all else was wrong. Number three this morning, from verses 19 through 23, notice the consequence of their stand. Nebuchadnezzar had stated when he gave this charge that anyone who did not obey would be cast into a fiery furnace to ultimately die. However, when these three young men confronted Nebuchadnezzar and to his face told him, we will not serve this image, we will not fall down in worship to it, and if you punish us, God is going to do one of two things. He's either going to save us or not. But one way or another, we're not going to obey it. We're going to serve God. Nebuchadnezzar got red hot, didn't he? His anger was intensified. And as his anger was intensified, so then was the consequence. He says, take these boys, take them to the furnace, heat it seven times more than it want to be heated. In other words, heat it as hot as it's going to get. Heat it to its completion, where it can't get any hotter. Leave them in their clothes. And when you throw them in, guess what's going to happen? His idea anyways, they're going to be immediately consumed and killed. And so Nebuchadnezzar looked at this as a stark disobedience, a disrespect for him, for his belief, for his command. And yet in the face of such dire straits, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bend and continued with renewal for God. What was it that made them do this? The proper attitude. Again, we stated a few moments ago, they knew. There wasn't any question in their minds about the true God versus this image. There wasn't any question in their minds about what the law said. There wasn't any question in their minds about what they might suffer physically for just a few moments versus what they might suffer eternally if they were to decide otherwise. Their decision and their stand came down to their attitude. And it came down to this question, did they trust God? Did they trust God? From their statements of verses 16 through 18, I think it is abundantly clear that they trusted God. They knew He may save them, or they may not. But one way or another, they would win. They trusted God to be true to His Word and thus stood. Today, when or whether or not we do or do not take a stand, our decision is going to be based on this very same question. Do we trust God? From the outset, we might very quickly say, well, yes, I trust God. Do we trust God? Not challenging your answer, just trying to make us think. Do we trust God? Do we trust Him to do what He says He will do? I think of examples in the New Testament. This morning, for example, in Bible class, we talked about Paul and how that he left everything that he knew behind when he obeyed the gospel. And when he became a child of God, and when he became an apostle and a preacher of the gospel, he left it all. He trusted God to provide. He trusted God in what was right. You think of others throughout the New Testament, throughout the Bible, who faced dire circumstances and stood for right. Why? Because they trusted God. Oh, that we would have such a trust in God. Hopefully we do. And if not, hopefully we will. And so regardless of the consequences at the hand of a brutal king, these young men stood. We need to stand in the midst of dire circumstances that we either do or will face, and the consequences that could come from them. Then number 4, from verses 24 through 30, notice the conclusion of their stand. Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished. Why? Because they threw the young men down, but they didn't die. Apparently Nebuchadnezzar was stationed at such a point where he could look into the furnace. And you can't help but think that he was standing there, sitting there, looking with anticipation of them dying. He didn't like them anymore, and he wanted them to perish. But they throw them down, and what happens? They get up and start walking around. But not only does he see the three, but he sees a fourth, whom he likens to be one of the sons of God. He's astonished then. And he rises up in haste and he says to the counselors, did we not cast 3 men into the furnace? And they said, yeah, but I see 4. Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and he spoke and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. And they came forth out of the midst of the fire. Their clothes did not smell burned, neither was an hair on their head singed. These young men faced incredible odds. They stood for right, and God delivered them. Nebuchadnezzar's astonishment, though, did what? It began working on his soul. He saw the power of God in these events. He saw exactly what these 3 young men had been speaking of and whom they had been speaking of. And he sees this great power beginning to work, and he changes his mind. Was Nebuchadnezzar necessarily converted at this moment? No. But it started working on him. He made a decree, verse 29, that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces. Their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. He promoted them in the province of Babylon. It worked on him. It made him think. Today, when we make a stand, many times you can see it in the eyes of those with whom we come in contact. It may not necessarily change them, but it makes them think. What's thinking going to do? Possibly bring them around. But you never really know what the full extent of our abilities are in changing minds and changing lives until we try it out. These three boys tried it out. They saw an opportunity and they took it. We are faced with similar opportunities every day. Opportunities that carry circumstances. Opportunities that make us decide for which cause we will stand. Circumstances that carry with them consequences. We affect the conclusion. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they carried their own fate in their hands. How they reacted would eternally affect them. We carry our fate in our hands in a similar way. How we react to such circumstances today will affect us eternally. How will we react? Will it be such as did they? Will we stand and stand for right? Or will we bend, break, and fail? That's a decision that must be made not when the circumstance arises. That is a decision that must be made now. I have a feeling, though I don't know, I have a feeling that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when this command, this charge was issued forth in Babylon, I have a feeling they didn't have to stop and think, are we going to obey Nebuchadnezzar or not? I have a feeling that their mind was already made. Their decision had already been decided. They were going to stand for right. What's the key to success in similar circumstances? Don't wait until it arises. Don't wait until the circumstance comes. Decide now that I am going to stand for right. I am going to obey God. I am going to serve Him regardless. And this morning you have such an opportunity. This morning you have the opportunity to stand for your soul. God has provided the avenue by which your soul can be delivered. Make the stand for yourself right now. If you are here and you are not a child of God, come in obedience to the gospel. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. And forevermore enjoy the blessings that are found in Christ Jesus. Or if you're here this morning, you are a child of God who's gone back into the world, come back. Repent of those sins. Confess them. Pray to God for forgiveness. And His promise to you is He will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. This morning, take a stand for what you know to be right. And do it now while together we stand and sing.